Welcome to All Well Stands Radio Show. This is the Back to the Basics radio program. And I am your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. You can visit the website at allwellstand.org. And up on the website, you will find a link to be able to listen to these and other Back to the Basic podcasts that are put up there to download and listen to at your convenience. There'll be a series of them going over a series of topics, and we're covering basic things. So one of the things that we're going to cover is the flood. So let me begin with Genesis chapter 5, verse 32, last verse. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay, so now we're going to take a look at Genesis chapter 6. But before we get into it, so the question here is, a lot of people haven't heard this. So here's going to be the thing. This right here is probably, you know, a lot of more people believe in creation than they like to make up excuses for it. So they like to say, well, the Bible says each day is 24-hour period, but we'll pretend that it's like 200 million years or something, you know, however, fill in the blank. And, you know, they seem to be able to get over the analogy, you know, oh, wow, the serpent, the fruit, and sin. Nobody really seems to really, I haven't dealt with them. But when you get to the flood, this is a controversy. And there's going to be a lot on this, and I'm going to give you mention a couple of resources. In fact, I'll mention one now. Henry Morris, The Genesis Flood, a great book if you can find it. And you should be able to find it. You know, try abooks.com or something like that. And, you know, I mean, but also for people who don't have the resources or do not live in the United States of America or somewhere else, you can readily get a book like that. Then please try icr.org. Because that's where you'll see his work is available through there, and you will definitely find many articles written by him, that type of stuff, at icr.org. So, as we get into this, when you have questions that go beyond what this show goes over, because we're talking about the basics, we're just going to simply believe God's word, and we're going to discuss some of the evidences here, but by no means is it going to be exhausted. This show is Back to the Basics. It's to teach people who want to learn something about the Word of God, who want to learn more about God. It is not designed to answer naysayers. There is organizations like ICR and Answers in Genesis that are designed specifically to help those who have been confused and lied to by those who tell us that this is lies, rather than just simply believe in God. If people just simply believe what God said, we wouldn't need to have such organizations, but unfortunately we do, and the amount of resistance by those often in powerful positions who say that this is ridiculous is very great indeed, and I don't think that's going to change. So thank goodness God has raised up people to operate creation ministries to answer and shut the mouths of these people who spread lies and deception, because in the end, you and I and each other individual are going to have to decide whether we believe God or we believe not God. Because these things are have eternal consequences, you know, whether or not, because if we don't believe God, then do we really need a Savior? That type of stuff. And I'll tell you what, for one, I would put my thoughts on believing God. And I hope that's what you're doing. And I hope that's why you're listening to this show today. So let me go ahead and start off with Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were pleasing, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Okay, so I'm going to keep on going just a little bit more. Verse 3. And Jehovah said, my spirit shall not continually strive with man, for indeed it is in flesh to sin, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were mighty men from antiquity, men of renown. So I'm going to stop there. Now, There are different trains of thought on this. I am not going to say that the one that I'm going to give here, what I believe happened, by taking it literally, because I don't believe it's allegorical in any sense. And that's a different topic here, but I don't believe the Bible doesn't say it's like or as. So I don't believe there's any allegory here. And there are people who preach and teach, as what I'm going to tell you. And so, sons of God, Genesis chapter 6. Well, let's take a look at where we might be able to find the sons of God again in the Bible. This is where if you have a Strong's coordinates, and you can find one online, and I'll warn you, the older Strong's, don't get the revised ones. Get one that's older. You know, if you find one used is better. Salvation Army, you might be able to find it online somewhere. Make sure, and I know there's some editions online, period. At least one, I think it's Eliah, E-L-I-Y-A-H. If you Google that in Strong's, it should pull up. But anyway, and that one's free. I've used that one many times, but I have the older stuff. I think you get into like the stronger Strong's and they like to change the definitions on you. But hold on a second. So let's take in Job 38:7 says, when the morning stars sing together and all of the sons of God shout it for joy. This is speaking of the creation. And we could also see Job 2:1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, and Satan came also among them to present himself before Jehovah. So, without getting too far away from what we're talking about and getting too deep into it and talking about things that are definitely, we don't want to go above the Bible. What it appears to me in other people, and there is dissension among Christians regarding what this means, there is a lot of controversy. But I take it very literally. I take it that the sons of God are angelic beings. And obviously that when they see the daughters of men and they're pleasing and they take wives from them, as it says in verse 2 of Genesis 6, these are not going to be ones that are following God. So then they're going to be fallen angels. We're on a different topic here, but there are a certain amount of angels, a third of the angels that fell, that aligned themselves with Satan, that used the serpent to deceive man, and the one who ultimately deceives the whole world, Revelation 12:9. And I believe that it was these evil angels, these demons, that took wives. And if you listen to the creation, the definition of wives, we can see here it's not the legal contract, it's not the ceremony, it's that that union that only a man and woman can have. It's that act that is truly marriage from a biblical aspect. Now, if we skip down, we can see here in verse 4, there were giants on the earth in those days, okay, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, these were mighty men from antiquity, men of renown. Might I suggest that perhaps some of the old, we'll call it Grecian mythology of, you know, these people with superhuman abilities, perhaps there's a little bit of truth to that, that just got carried away, where some of these men from antiquity, men of renown, mighty men from antiquity, as the Bible says, giants also, you know, that some of this stuff might have been due to that, definitely unnatural, not the way that God intended. And this is important here, and I'm not going to be dogmatic to the point where if somebody says, well, no, that's not what that means, or if it means something else, I'm not talking about somebody who doesn't believe God's word. I'm talking about somebody like, for instance, Brother David Cloud of Way of Life, wayoflife.org. And I've read one of his books, going over this one time, and I know he had something like three different theories. And he doesn't believe this one himself, but he doesn't knock the people who do. He doesn't think it's that. He thinks it's something else. I personally do think it's that, but I'm not going to knock those who are truly saved, who do not. Okay, so verse 5, And Jehovah saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all day long. And Jehovah regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. And Jehovah said, I will obliterate man whom I have created from off the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and flying creatures of the heaven, for I regret having made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of Jehovah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Now, I'm going to suggest that in verse 9, off of what I said, when it says Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, that demonic corruption of human DNA, and we'll take a look at verse 12 here in a minute, that was not in Noah in his generation, in his sons. Verse 10, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, this is verse 12, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence for them, and behold, I will destroy them along with the earth. Okay, so spend a lot of time talking about how, you know, this type of stuff is the earth and the violence that Jesus talked about is going to happen again. And those articles are there for people who would want to read that stuff and find interest in that stuff. It's certainly there for you. So we have here Noah, his three sons, and of course, as we find out, Noah's wife and his three sons' wives. There's no children to those people. And I started off with the last verse in chapter 5. Noah was 500 years old. So people lived a lot longer then. Now, I will tell you, and I don't know if anyone else would ever think of this, maybe it was just me, but I always, for some reason, when I read this when I was a kid, and I would always go back to this, and I believe this for years, okay? And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God says, and Jehovah said, my spirit shall not continually strive a man, for indeed is in flesh to sin, yet his day shall be 120 years. I always thought that meant that, you know, Noah lived 500, and afterwards, because of this, that nobody could live longer than 120. And I believe that. I was probably 21. And I remember I would go on the internet in its infancy, and like real Guinness Book of Records, and there'd be a couple people say, oh, we're older than that. But it could never be verified. The records weren't there. And then like one day I ran across something that was supposedly verified. And it was somebody, probably a woman, and she was either 121 or 122. And so how is that? Because, you know, even back then I knew, well, the Bible's true. This can't be right. But it appears to be right. This woman really appears to be like that old, you know. And it's not a common thing, obviously, you know. Well, if anyone else happens to think like that, and so you know, there is an answer to that, okay. And the answer is, that's man's, from the time God said it, that's how long Noah had to build an ark. That's how long from the time God said it to the time that the flood happened and they all got washed away. It was 120 years. Okay, that is how much longer God was going to strive with man. He wasn't going to strive continually with that real at that time. Those people. It was 120 years. So, and God said to Noah, in verse 14, he said, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it, to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third levels. And behold, I, even I, am bringing a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy from under the heavens all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. And I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of flying creatures after their kind, of animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind that will come in to you to keep them alive. And take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and gather to yourself, and it shall be food for you and food for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Now, that is a major thing. I want you to think about it. I want you to take in, you know, maybe you live in an area that's complete desert, with hardly a hill or hardly a grade, and you look out around the horizon, and maybe there's a butte in the distance, maybe there's nothing. Maybe you look out somewhere else, and it was not, you know, one of the things I think that people make is we have here now, we have a flood. God is saying, okay, there's going to be a flood, and it's going to cover the entire earth. Okay, so somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, I have a gigantic mountain. I can see, I got Mount Everest out my window. Don't tell me that the water can get that deep. Where would it come from? Well, so this is something, these type of questions that you might have, and that's just one example, and I think that's a very fair question. I think that's one that I had always considered. You've got this mountain, Mount Everest, that's, you know, over 5 miles high. And it's actually, I believe, 7 miles high. Almost. Well, I guess it's five. And anyway, it gets 28,000 feet. So that would put it at five something. And the thing is you take a look at that, and it doesn't seem logical, admittedly. Mount Everest. I used to live in Montana, and I lived near the Rocky Mountains. And, you know, we had some mountains right there in the area I lived. Yeah, 7,000 going to 8,000. And, you know, we were up three. So it was about, you know, if you got up near one, I mean, yeah, look up about a mile. If it's a tall one, and we had tall ones, you know, right there. And then there were bigger mountains in different parts of Montana than I lived in. I lived in Flathead Valley, you know, but if you went down further south, you would find bigger ones. And, you know, I'll tell you, I've seen, even here in South Dakota, we have something called Blackout Peak. It's the highest mountain west of the Rocky Mountains, or I'm sorry, east of the Rocky Mountains that you will find in this country, all the way to actually the Pyrenees in France. And it's just one peak, you know, it's one thing that's out there, and you can go to the top of it if you want. And to imagine that, you know, underneath water, well, let's wait a second here, because you're probably thinking, well, no, you're trying to tell me to believe this. Yeah, I'm actually telling you to believe God. Don't believe me. Believe his word. Read it for yourself, Genesis 6, 7, and 8. But I am going to go over this a little bit. So, because these are things that interest me, and I do have my collection of creation books to help answer some of these questions. And certainly, we're doing this from a basic thing, and you will have to go to places like icr.org if you need further answers. I'm not scientific enough to answer those type of questions. But one thing to take into consideration is that the flood was obviously a very cataclysmic event. It was an event which caused the mountains during and after to rise higher than what they were. So how high was the highest mountain when the flood happened? 2,000 feet, 4,000 feet, 5,000 feet? Your guess is as good as mine. Was it Mount Everest? Likely not. So that would be one thing. These type of things, these mountain ranges like the Rocky Mountains, and this stuff happened as a result of the flood, of God rearranging the earth that is talked about later, where he divides the earth. Something that actually most people don't ever talk about, so I will actually mention that verse. Okay, First Chronicles chapter 1, verse 19. To Eber were born two sons, the name of one of Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. So, I mean, from my perspective, that's just an interesting tidbit. I feel like, you know, I was talking about in the creation series, either the first or second one, I believe the first one, about how interesting the flat map is. And I just think that, you know, I think that, you know, the earth was divided. That's the explanation for it. Fossil records show that, you know, the same fossils are shared on different continents. I mean, it's stuff that's not talked about. So let's talk about the fossil record. This stuff interests me, okay, quite a bit. So we want to talk about a flood. Okay. So recently I actually been reading a book talking about, and part of it's talking about ancient, I mean, when I say ancient, I mean ancient, way before Christ, flood traditions in Grand, they're skewed, but they're found all throughout the realm. You're just not told it. Or the people who do know about it, they say, well, it's not true, missionaries brought it. But you can find it in certain writings around the globe, having happened a long time before a missionary ever, before Christ was even on the face of the earth, you know, as in his ministry in the flesh. So that's one thing to take consideration. So I mentioned I used to live in Flathead Valley. So there's a national park called Glacier National Park. And I forget what the Canadian side's called, but it continues right across the border in Canada too. And they have their own name for it. And anyway, so inside Glacier National Park, up high, you're talking, you know, 7,000 feet, are found shark teeth. Okay. And all around the realm, you can find coral, seashells, shark teeth, and other type of sea fossilized evidence. Now, how did that happen? These are the type of things that they don't want to discuss. These are the type of things that, you know, it doesn't make sense. So, you know, there's a place in Nebraska that, you know, it has dinosaur bones, but they have also found bones of, so, you know, dinosaurs. Well, we're going to talk about a couple of these things, but dinosaur bones, but it's also found with bones of zebras, camels, and other horses, other modern day animals that still exist to this day, mixed with dinosaur bones. Okay. And they're fossilized, really. So they were all here. Well, that's interesting because zebras are not native to North America, neither are camels. And in fact, we could argue neither are horses. And so that's quite interesting. So, dinosaurs, the ark, the feasibility of it. Well, it is a question. And it's something I just recently was taking a Bible college course, actually, and went over the topic of the flood. And it was David Cloud. Pastor Cloud had said, well, he showed a picture of the ridiculous, you know, and I've seen it many times, this little boat with a bunch of animals all kind of cluttered on there, you know, two of each. And it's unrealistic. And then I had never actually seen pictures of it. But he showed pictures of the ark thing that was built. It's either Kentucky or Tennessee. It's by the Answers in Genesis. And I think it's Kentucky. And there's this whole real-life ark that built off of what the Bible what God commanded Noah. And it's huge. And it allows somebody to realize that when it's definitely seafaring, it's built a lot like the tankers are built nowadays. It would allow somebody to actually see that God's word, you know, hey, everyone's been saying this can't possibly be true. You couldn't possibly have animals on there. And one of the misconceptions is they always, you know, they like to show dinosaurs. And, you know, of course, you have the T-Rex and the brontosaurus, huge things. You could take infant, you could take youth. But the average dinosaur was actually the size of like a dog, a little bit bigger than a dog. They weren't that big. In fact, if you ask me, I would say we still have dinosaurs here. And you're like, oh, are you serious? And you think they're, you know, like T-Rex is out there. I mean, I always joke with my kids, you know, T-Rex or a dinosaur out there. But in all reality, I mean, I look at stuff like, you know, take a look at crocodiles came in. Take a look at some of these lizards that we have, like the Gila monster. Take a look at rhinoceroses. Ooh, rhinoceros, you know, rhinoceros, right? Take a look at, you know, some of these animals that we still have. There's actually, you know, saber-toothed tiger. There's actually, but there's a saber-tooth. Oh, it's something. I don't remember what it's called. It's in Afghanistan. Very rare animal. So there's saber-toothed animals out there? Yeah, you're not supposed to know that. And if you really want to get into it, as we get into talking about the flood, and we're going to get more into this in the next show, because never intended to get through the whole thing at once, I find this fascinating. Human fossilized remains found. But there's always an excuse to give. Well, if we base it off the Bible, the road's like, you know, 6,000 some years old. Okay. So there was this, and nowadays sometimes this gets out there. Most of the time, I swear, it gets put into, it's gets tucked away out of the sight of humans, out of the sight of us, because it defies what they tell us. So they have to hide it. But there was this one that got out. It was found in China. So here's this fossilized woman, okay? And they say, you know, this woman's fossilized from the Stone Age. So, you know, we're right on the time right there of Noah, okay, of the flood. And this woman is fossilized, and they pulled her up in China. And she was holding a baby that was also fossilized. Now, how does that happen? Well, you'll see as we get into Genesis 7. How does that happen? Because of stuff like that. Because of the flood. So, I mean, that's the thing is there's, if you, I think I still have it. I should pause if I do. If you go to the website and you go under allwillstand.org and you go under Christian Resource Center, all the way on the right side, you'll see a link to Saint, I think it's saint.com. Click on it. It has uparts. I'm not saying they're all true, but I'm sure a lot of them are. If not, most of them. And they're just, you know, there's drawings of dinosaurs. Job speaks about dinosaurs in the Bible, in the book of Job. I mean, there's a lot more that you won't hear that is out there that can be readily seen. Stuff that's old. So, I mean, in fact, there is even still supposed sightings of it's Papua New Guinea of potential pterodactyls over the years. Even David Livingstone, the explorer in Africa, described what appeared to be a dinosaur that he found in the jungle. So, you know, there were people who went and looked for that. I think it was in the Congo. The Loch Ness Monster. Supposedly that was a prehistoric dinosaur fish. And indeed, I can tell you, and of course there's a Hudson Monster, I don't know much about that, but I can tell you that in Australia, trees that were supposed to be extinct for millions of years, they found like 20 of them. There was some fish back in the 1930s that, you know, had been extinct for millions of years, and a couple fishermen, they caught one, and boy, it was a monster fish. So the evidence is there. As we get into the flood, as we talk about the flood, the evidence is there. Did the water go up and cover the whole earth and kill everything? That, except for obviously the fish, if you actually read it very carefully, it's not the fish, not the sea-bearing creatures. But did it do that? Well, did God say it did? Yes. Was it localized flood? No. It was worldwide, and 8 souls survived, and we will get more into that. However, you can go to the website, allwillstand.org. If you have questions about salvation, please click on the salvation link. And you can also email me with questions. And once again, if you have questions trying to answer these things, ICR.org, I think, you know, or Answers in Genesis, those are going to be where you're going to look. They have a lot of material. So if you send me scientific questions that are very difficult, I'm probably just going to send you there. And maybe I'll look up a source and send you there. I'm not going to be able to answer all those questions, okay? But then again, I just take God. Certainly I have looked at answers to stuff just to make sure there's answers like starlight and time. Very difficult things. But, you know, it's good just to believe God. But there's nothing wrong with, you know, looking at Answers in Genesis or ICR and getting answers to these questions that, you know, might not quite ring in your head and you don't understand how to answer them, plus to answer other people. Anyway, until the next show where we continue talking about the flood, as we're part of the Back to the Basics program.